Seated. I can't resist. What did the bacon say to the olives? The yolk's on you. It is about the yoke, not that kind of yoke. But the yoke that Jesus speaks of in today's gospel lesson, we want to reflect upon a little bit today. You see, because there's a great deceit out there in the world, the deceit that says that somehow if you're a follower of Jesus, all of your burdens will disappear. All the hardships of your life will no longer be part of your life. That is a great deceit. Because the reality is that no matter how hard we try to live our lives and those things ultimately come. The immense grief of losing someone we love dearly, or perhaps the betrayal by a friend, or the hurt that comes when we lose a job and can't find meaningful employment for a while. These burdens, these disappointments, these hardships come. It's part of life. It's part of simply being a human being. And they don't go away simply because we have given our lives over to God. But you see, there is a change. There is a transformation. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You notice he didn't say that he will take away our burdens. In fact, he says, take my yoke upon your shoulders. Carry my burden, and you will find rest for your soul. So what that tells us is that when we look out into the world and we hear people tell well-meaning folk of faith that somehow follow Jesus and all of your concerns will be gone, that is itself a lie. And it often leads people to question God. It often leads people to wonder whether God really loves them because somehow this promise wasn't theirs for the reality of their lives. And yet, Jesus never made that promise. I'd like to talk about yokes for a little while, because it gives us a better understanding of what it is Jesus is getting at. Now, I look around the room, and there may be a few of us who like gardening, and perhaps a couple of us who are agricultural folk, or were rather raised up in that context, but few of us that I see here are actual farmers out there just tilling the fields and harvesting the grain. If that's true, you're probably not here today. You're out there because the weather is good, and you've got to take advantage of the sun while it shines. But most of us, perhaps, who would be doing that sort of work would be doing it with rather modern machinery, very efficient, very powerful, big tractors, pulling plowshares, all that stuff behind us. And we would miss the point of what Jesus is talking about, because Jesus is addressing the people of his time and his day, and they were very much an agricultural people. They understood these images very well that Jesus is using. So Jesus picks up this image of a yoke. Perhaps the easiest way of explaining it would be to look to some of our neighbors, those of us of the old order Mennonite tradition, the Amish among us, who don't use the modern contraptions, the big machines and all of that, but often we'll use beasts of what we call beasts of burden, big draft horses, huge things. And usually there's one or maybe two, and maybe a team of four, pulling this immense plowshare behind, furrowing, digging down into the ground, loosening it up so that later on it can be broken up into smaller pieces and then planted. It is in the yoke that binds those horses together that the power of each horse is multiplied. In fact, in the day of Jesus, they didn't use draft horses like some of our neighbors do, but rather they used oxen. Big animals. Slow but powerful. They could drag a big, heavy burden behind them, whether it was a big plowshare that was stuck into the dry desert earth, or it was some other sort of thing that had to be dragged along. They could do it. And it became an art, and it is still an art today for those who use this method, of making sure that the animals are well matched. Because you can't have one going faster than the other, or one much bigger and stronger than the other. They need to be somehow working in tandem. Even if they're not absolutely equal, you have to be able to know how to manage them so that they're working together. And in fact, they work together in a very real way by actually having a contraption laid over their shoulders. That's a yoke. And that contraption harnesses the power that's going on, and that's what's usually connected to the plow or to the wagon or to whatever else it is that you want to move. Now, if that yoke is uncomfortable, these animals are probably not going to work very hard because you're inflicting pain on them. And most of us, in the natural order, we avoid pain. So we flinch and we walk away from it. So you want to make sure that the yoke fits well around the shoulders of the horses or the oxen. And in fact, you probably have only one yoke to your name, and so you use the same yoke year after year after year, season after season, and eventually it gets worn in. That the shoulders of the beasts that are using it actually mold the yoke around themselves, and so it fits really well. Perhaps the best image for us is that of a well-worn shoe. Most of us probably have made the mistake, well, maybe not you. I'm probably less intelligent than most of you. Because, you see, I just took a trip, you know, I was away for a while, and what did I do? I went out and bought a brand new pair of walking shoes. And on the first day of touring, put on my brand new walking shoes and expected to be out there for about 6 or 7 hours walking around. And within an hour and a half, suddenly I was limping. Because right above my big toe, on a little raised portion of my foot, there was developing a wonderful blister. Now that blister festered, and of course, by the time the day was over, I was relieved to get the shoes off. And there it was, big as day. We had a few days at sea before the next walking part of the tour, but as you know, these things take a long time to heal. And just as Bob was healing, it was time to put those shoes on again. And it wasn't a half an hour, and it was starting the whole process over again. So that blister plagued me until actually a week after I got home. Because I didn't have the right shoes. Only with the proper shoes from a totally scientific point of view, but they weren't the right shoes for me because I hadn't broken them in. I hadn't worn them in. Most of us have had that experience too. We've never tried on a pair of shoes that didn't belong to us. They weren't the right size at all, but you put your feet into someone else's shoes and you can feel the different form on your foot. You see, because things like that are used day after day after day, we wear ourselves into them, into certain patterns. And like a well-worn shoe, a yoke that is well used conforms to the shoulders of the one who carries it. So when Jesus says,